How many of you enjoy, you know, just, you know, opening up your heart and giving praise to God? Right? It's not about the music, it's not about the song, but it's about the heart, yeah? And whenever you are ready, you say, God, I love you, pour out your heart. And I just wanted to know that in church, right, you can be very real. Yeah, you don't have to put up a mask. I mean, not that kind of mask, but that, you know, that the hiding mask, that everything seems okay. And then, you know, whenever you come to church, when people ask you, how are you doing? You say, praise the Lord, brother, everything is good. But 90% of that is not right sometimes, right? Because you go through, you know, some tough times in weeks. But in church, you can be real with your brothers and sisters. And that's what the church is all about. It's not just for saints, but for broken people coming to the house of God, encouraging one another, inspiring one another, because we all need a Savior. Turn your neighbor and say, we all need a Savior. If you don't need a Savior, you don't have to say that. Praise God. Okay, how many of you are ready for the Word of God today? Okay, what I intend to do this evening is I would like to speak on certain foundations, small foundations that will change your view, or rather your perspective of who this God is. How many of you have seen a tall building before? You know, when you look at the tall buildings, you will not look at the foundation. The foundation cannot be seen, right? Because it has to go right deep down the earth, you know, the land, and then only they will put up the building. But if there was not a firm, a strong foundation that was being built, you will not see that building. Likewise, because of the building that's being strong up there, there was a strong foundation. Today, my intention is to give you this foundation so that whenever the storms or the winds or whatever comes in your life, you can be strong. It's like wanting to change your perspective, or rather your lens on how you view God. How many of you know that the way I view God, or the way your neighbor or you view God, is very different? Because we all have our own perspective, right? We all have our own worldview. For example, if I ask you, who is God to you? Some of you will say God is holy, and another group will say God is a father. Of course, both answer is correct, but different view, different perspective, and different worldview. And of course, when you ask an unbeliever who God is, it's going to be a very different answer. So my intention, my goal today is to change all your lenses so that we all can be on the same page to view God of who He really is. Turn to your neighbor and say, get ready to change your lenses. We are going to view God, our Father, with the lenses of His Son, Jesus Christ, and with the help of His Spirit, the Holy Spirit. So this is what we're going to do. And oftentimes, when these things are not being placed at the right place, our whole theology or our whole view of God gets distorted. And we try to chase after the big things, but we forgot the small things are the one, the deep things are the one that puts up a strong building. How many of you have played, you like to play jigsaw puzzles? You know, there's thousands, there's 2,000, 3,000, and it takes time for you to build the entire jigsaw puzzle. And oftentimes, you know, in the end, when you don't put the final piece in the jigsaw puzzle, you will not get a clearer picture of the entire puzzle. But unless and until you put the small piece into it, you get a bigger picture. Turn to everybody and say, bigger picture. So we're going to be talking and learning about all these small components that fits this bigger picture of who God is. Amen? Okay, so stay with me today. I'm going to be teaching you. I'm going to get very slow, but maybe along the way I'll preach, because that's what I do. But I would like to teach to you today, because this is very, very important. Turn to everybody and say, very important. Because in time now, as I've been in the ministry, as we meet people, different people, and we talk about them, we realize that these foundations are not being built. That's why their view on who God is being distorted. That's why when certain thing happens in their life, they can walk away from God, they can walk away from church, they get so offended with one another because these small puzzles are not being put in the right place, and they couldn't see the whole big picture of who God is. All right? Okay. Everybody stay with me, all right? Now, in order to understand that, we need to understand what is creation all about. So we're going to go from the very beginning and understanding, Charlotte, sorry, you probably heard this. And we are going to go to the very beginning in understanding the creation, because when you understand the creation, you understand this whole picture of who God is, the whole picture of who the Son Jesus is, the whole picture of the Holy Spirit is. Now, if you look at in the Bible, in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, it says what? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now it says, in the beginning, God created heaven and the earth. That's the mark of the beginning of time that's being introduced. Now, how many of you have had this in your mind? When you read that, so God created heaven and the earth. Before that, where was God living? How many of you had that before? Okay, maybe just me, I think all of you had that before, but you don't ask one another. You don't ask your pastor, because if you ask, then you may think, hey, this is a simple question. What Sunday school children, all they know. So you don't want to ask, right? But inside of you, 20 years, 30 years Christian, you had this thought. I had that. Even when I was in Bible school, so I had that thought, Pastor. Where did God was living? He created heaven and the earth, and before they were homeless, are he? Now we need to understand God is beyond time. Hello? God is beyond anything else. He doesn't need heaven as his dwelling place, because he's beyond anything else, but he chose heaven as his dwelling place. So he's beyond all that, okay? That is going to be a whole 1 hour session on that. I'm not going to touch on that, all right? So if your answer is probably God is homeless, you are wrong. God is never homeless, all right? He doesn't need heaven, he doesn't need earth. Hello? He doesn't need this universe and all that. He exists way before that. But in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, that's what time was being introduced. In the beginning, God created heaven and the earth. Now, talking about creation, right, we always have this understanding. It's all about the doctrine of creation, the war between science and the spiritual. Those who, you know, extremely believe in science and not the spiritual, they believe that this universe took place because of the Big Bang Theory. How many of you know that? There was an explosion in the universe, in the galaxy, bam, boom, and then suddenly weakness just appear. No, not regret, okay? The science believe that way, and the spiritual, of course, the Christian, we believe that God is the one who created and all that thing. We often minimize the subject of creation into science and spiritual. Now, I want to take you a little bit deeper in understanding the creation so that you can value and appreciate God in a whole different level. Now, in order to understand that, we need to understand why in the first place did God created Adam? Why in the first place God created human being in the face of the earth? Now, you find that the whole chapter 1, right? Verse 1, verse 2, verse 3, God created the universe, the fish, the bird, the cattle, and every other thing that's creeping on the earth. It was amazing, right? It was a wow, amazing story. And then God created man. Why in the first place did God want to create man? That's the question that we and I need to answer that. Because when you know what to answer that, your foundation is built strong already. So that you will not walk aimlessly, you will not walk without a purpose, but you will live life understanding that you got a purpose and you are a call, and God made you out of a reason. And I'm going to tell you why God made Adam and Eve, or rather, both man and woman. Now, if you have your Bible, turn to Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, 27, and 28. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, it says, then God says, let us make man. I want, if you have your physical Bible, I want you to underline. If you have your app or so, you can just highlight this entire verse, right? But if you like to circle, you got a notebook or a Bible, I want you to circle the word us. Let us make man in our image. Circle the word image, and also circle the word according to our likeness. Wait there. Let's stop there. And God said, let us make man what? In our image, and come on, talk to me. And in our likeness. Which means, listen this, God has a, talk to me, God has an image and he has a likeness. Talk to me, everybody talk to me. Which means God has a image and he has a likeness. And out of the image that God has, and out of the likeness within the Trinity has, God made man. We will get into that later, right? What is the image? What is the likeness? And then he says, let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds in the air, over the cattle, and over all the things that's creeping on the face of the earth. Which means one of the reason, it could be, all of us, we know this is the straight, clear cut. The Bible is saying the reason why God created Adam was so that he can have dominion over the fishes in the sea, the birds in the air, the cattle, and every other thing that's on the face of the earth. But that's not the main and the primary focus that God created Adam. Because the main focus and the main primary reason is in the verse, in the line before that, I created man in my own image, in my own likeness. Now, I want you to know this, that God did not make Adam because he was lonely. God did not make Adam because he was homeless. God did not make Adam because on the sixth day, I'm so bored. I see all these animals with four legs. Let's make another animal with, you know, another human being with two legs. Because all of them are crawling with four legs. Let's make someone with two legs. Give them nice eyes, a nose. Let's make them lah. Let them be different from the animals. No. I want you to know. This will blow your mind. Okay. For by him all things were created that are in heaven, that are on earth, visible and invisible. The visible and the invisible. The universe, the before the foundation of the world, whether thrones of the dominions of principality or power, all things were created through him and for him. Now, when you underline the word through him and for him, that word represents, that word gives an understanding that everything is created for his pleasure. Now, when I say for his pleasure, it's not that kind of pleasure that you and I think, you know. You know, that kind of pleasure. I'm going to create them. Let them suffer. I'm going to create this tree. Let the tree, you know, break into two. And that's for my pleasure. Me, the Father, and the Son, we're going to ha, 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 look at them. No, that not that kind of pleasure. But this pleasure talks about the pleasure of a love relationship. I'm going to get into that later. Now, if you look at this, now Ephesians, the whole Ephesians chapter 1, if you look at the message version in verse 3, verse 4, verse 5, you will find the word that God had you in his mind before the foundations of the world. Now, which means, you know what happens? Before he created the heaven and the earth, he already had the intention to create Adam. The intention to create man. It was not something that just came out just like that. Poof, I got an idea to create man. Even before everything else was laid into its places, God already had you and I in his mind. Come on. Come on, somebody give God the glory, please. Now, me and Rebecca were married for almost 4 years now. I just asked her this now. Forget, huh? Some guys sometimes we forget, huh? But we are very romantic, actually. So what happened is, we have been married almost 4 years. September come, it'll be 4 years. The reason why we got married is because why? We hate each other, is it? That's maybe some of you, I don't know. But because we are so in love with one another, that we want to take it to the next level, the next step, that we want to get married, we want to do life, we want to have family together. And when we have these two together, you know, every time when we go work, we come back, we spend time together, so much of love relationship, because now why? The two has become one. We, you know, it's like, you know, how many of you have seen couples, right? If they're married for many, many years, right? Sometimes when you look at them, their face almost equal, identical, right? They're not brothers, sisters, you know. But somehow you just get it that, you know. I will tell that how you can get that also when you're with Jesus later on. No, really, really. You know, some people, you look at them, this guy walks like Jesus, talks like Jesus. Why? The two has become one. Later. I'll tell you what I'm going to say later on. Now, when we are so in love, what happened is, one day we decided, we are so in love now that we just don't want to keep this love between ourselves. We want to demonstrate this love because we are so intimate with one another, so in love with one another, so in unity, in seeing united like the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, so united. And out of that, let us do something so that we can express this love towards this thing, so that this thing can be a product of our love. And that's the reason why I went to Rebecca one day, let's make baby. Why are you looking like that? Let's make a baby. Why? We don't want to make Isaiah. We didn't have the intention to make him so that he can love us. No one wants to make a baby, I don't know, but most of us do not want to make a baby so that when we make a baby, the first thing he being come from the mother's womb, he will say, "Mommy, what do you want? Let me make coffee from you." Cannot. Right? With the reason why we want to make Isaiah is because we want to love him, not he loves us. That's why the Bible would say it, that he loves us. You see, everything is connecting one another. Foundations, huh? So, I'm so in love with her, we had him in mind before we had the sexual intercourse. Auntie Mark close already. When I say sexual intercourse, scared already. It's holy, okay? Tell everybody, sex is holy. Only until you and you're married. Okay? So, when we had that sexual intercourse, why? Not because we want him. You grow up, you know, some parents, sometimes we have this. I'm going to make a son so that he can grow up, he can take care of me. Hey, Asians, huh? I want to grow up so that one day I can sit at home, relax, he can go and work, bring back the money to me. Maybe we are like that. Please don't feel bad. As I said, church can be real, huh? Don't feel bad. But our Father in heaven was not like that. He's not like, "I'm going to make Rebecca, I'm going to make Pastor Betty, so that she can serve me all her life, be miserable, and then me and the Father, Son, Holy Spirit are going to, look at that. Wow, let's make another Betty. Let's make little Betty. Let's make Crystalline now." No. No, come on. He made all of you. He made Adam because he had all of you in his mind. Can you pull out that video? How we had Isaiah in our mind and how we celebrated, you see.
8, 7, 6, 5.
Listen, the gender reveal, huh? Just look at the excitement, huh? Look at the excitement. That time was MCO, so that we couldn't call a lot of people, all right? Don't get offended, huh? He wanted a girl, that's why I like that face. Okay. Cut it off now. Can you see the excitement that we had in that house? Do you all why they were excited? Not because Rachel said, "Okay, he's going to be born, he's going to help me with my chores. Okay, this boy is coming, he's going to help me with everything." No. The reason why they were so excited is because now we got another person that we can express this love. Now there's another person where we can welcome him into the family and make him know what love is all about. That's why the excitement. And we don't even know the gender yet, you know. God already knows. I think nowadays culture, it's a crime to do all this. Cannot reveal gender. Let the children choose what gender they want. You know, dangerous, huh? Knock their head. How to choose? You wake up, you see the thing hanging there, means you're a boy, what? Right, how to choose? Okay, anyway, so what happened is, we were all so excited because why? That's the demonstration or the projection of our love between me and Rebecca. When God created Adam, it was not because the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, they were lonely. Three of us only. What to do? Cannot form a football team or so. Cannot form a futsal team or so. Let's create more people. No, no. You need to understand the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, they were so in sync together. They were so in love together. They were so in one together. That's why Jesus said, "When you look at me, you have seen the Father." Right? Because they were all together. They look alike. They speak like that. They all have different roles. They are three different persons, but one being. That's a whole different story on that, all right? That's going to be talking about Trinity. I'm a person, I'm a being. She's one person, she's a being. But God is three person, but one being. Get it? I'm a one person, one being. She's a one person, one being. We all are different being, but God is different, huh? God is three person, but one being. How do we explain that? That'll be the whole different class later on. Now, Because they were so in love, three of them, so in love, so in sync. They were like, let's demonstrate this love. Because you know why? Everything that you do must have a fruit, right? The fruit of that relationship, that outcome of that triune God, the Trinity, it's love. And that's the reason why God created Adam, because Adam was the product, Adam was the result, Adam was the fruit of the love relationship between the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Come on, somebody give God the glory. Now, when you understand that you are made out of love, your whole view on God is different anymore. Because I know some of you think that you are like in the chess game. God decides where to put you. Let the bishop come here, the castle come here. Pop, 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 gone. How many of you have felt like that before? I felt like that. Don't put up your hand. You feel like you are, God, you are like the chess master. We are like the pawn there on the chess board. It's like you direct us, you tell us what to do. You know, you control us, you manipulate us. We all think like that. But no, my friend, change your lens. God made you out of love, not out of assignment, not out of a task, not out of a responsibility, but mainly out of love. Come on! Somebody give God a glory. So God did not create us because He was lonely. God did not create us because He was bored. God did not create us because He got nothing to do on the sixth day. Turn to your neighbor and say, let's get a little bit further. You guys are okay at the back there? Okay. No, the reason why I'm sharing all this, right? When you get this all right, then the other things will come. The basic. But oftentimes the basics we don't ask because Genesis 1:1, Sunday school stuff. Right? It's a Sunday school thing, you know? And you know how there's a song, right? The creation song. Is this a Sunday school song? Creation song? Is there? God created the heaven and the earth. Don't ever. We all never go to Sunday school, I think. I said, don't know. Okay, let's move a little bit further. Huh? See, when God created Adam, God did not tell Adam, Adam, I'm going to create you, Adam. Okay, this is for all of us. Huh? I did not create you, Sam and Daisy, so that you can accept me one day and so that you can go to heaven. That was not the primary focus of the creation of man. Of course, salvation is God's plan. It is He who calls you into salvation. But the main idea that God created Adam was, of course, dominion on earth, to have to rule and reign here on earth. How many of you know that God asked Adam to rule and reign on earth? You say, Adam, you name whatever you want, however you want. You see the animals, you name them. And then Adam was like, okay, the big black thing, big one, four legs, got trunk, let's name him elephant. And he goes on. I do not know why he names the hippopotamus, but that's the exact name that we can see. Can you imagine hippopotamus, we call him as something as caterpillar? Okay, all right. That's the most soothing name for all the animals, for me lah. I see hippopotamus, that name, that's the best name Adam has given. So Adam had the chance and the opportunity to name every animal he want. And that's the exact, listen to this, the exact explanation was, Adam, I create you out of love. And then I'm going to empower you, listen to this, I'm going to pour my spirit into you so that you can rule and reign here on earth. How many of you know that we are all called to rule and reign here on earth? Not in heaven. Heaven you cannot rule and reign because there's another king up there. I'm not saying here rule and reign means you become the Messiah or you become God here on earth. No. What do I mean by rule and reign means God has given you all power, all authority. Come on, people of God. That's the foundation of man. You know, but of course, because of sin and all that, it got distorted. But I will come back on that later. Now, let's see how God, we know that why God created man now. Let's see how God created man. Ah, I like this. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 1 verse 26. It says, let us. Isn't it interesting? In the beginning, you find that God created the heaven and the earth, and the Spirit of God was hovering on the darkness, remember? And then God said, let there be light. There was light. It was God. And then when it come here, He says, let us. It's an agreement now. Three, God, one God, three person, saying, let us make man in our image, and into our likeness. Remember I said God has an image, God has a likeness. So when you look at the mirror, if you don't like yourself, I want you to change yourself, because what are you seeing is God's likeness and God's image. You may not like your nose like that. Why my eyes is like that and all that. But when you look at the mirror, you're like, that is God's image and God's likeness, all right? So when God created Adam into his image and his likeness, you might understand, in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, here we will find the explanation of how God created man. Yeah? And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. Now look at me, everybody. Everybody look at me. It's going to be interesting. How did God create the creation in the first 5 days? By saying, by words, right? Let there be light. Boom. Let there be this. Let there be that. Everything else just came into existence. But when it came to man, God changed his method. Right? He didn't say, let there be Adam. Let there be a two-legged walking creature here on the face of the earth. He didn't. You know what the Bible said? Probably when God created, this is my own explanation, don't take this as a doctrine, okay? When God created, when he said, let there be light, probably he'll be like, you know, let there be light, standing up, you know, full of his sovereignty, full of his glory, let there be fish, let there be this, and all that, it came. Standing, full of glory, full of sovereignty, supreme. But when he came to man, where, in some version it says mud, you know, where do you find mud? From the air. You have to go down. Listen this. God went down. All other things was saying. It's so easy, you know. Of course, doing that was easy for God. But the act of it, he took mud in his hand, went down. My friend, you may feel that you mean nothing to God. But I want you to know that God, he went down for you. You may think no one recognizes you. You may feel that nothing good is inside of you. You may think that no one recognizes you. The church doesn't recognize you. Your family doesn't recognize you. The stuff that you're going through is so overwhelming. But here, when God created Adam, God went down. This is a picture of so saying that I am a relatable God. I'm not that God that is far away. Come on, my friend. How many of you feel that God is far away? I put up my hand first. Sometimes I feel God is far away. How many of you feel like that? You feel like God is so far away. You're praying and you feel that God doesn't care about you. God cares about everybody else in the face of the earth. And only me that God doesn't care. How many of you felt like that before? Huh? Maybe all the Indians only feel like that. I don't know. So anyway, go watch a Tamil movie. Oh, you're you know, okay. Maybe, I don't know. Huh? Maybe all the other races are okay. But what I'm trying to say is, here God is painting a picture that I am a relatable God. I went down to the ground. I take the mud. And you know what? He didn't say, let there be man. He take it. He prayed. And what happens? Isn't that very intimate? Isn't that very personal? When you look at the heavens, you can't see the heavens. But when you look at the earth, when you look at the galaxy, when you look at the sea and the ocean, how majestic it is, right? Huh? But all of that didn't have a personal touch, you know. All of that was just a word. But when man came into picture, there was a personal touch. That's why we all long for a touch until now. Because we were made out of a touch. This is the reason young people, they will go here and go there to get touch. There's some people, some of you, you touch yourself. If you know what I'm trying to say. To make you feel good, to satisfy you. Because inside of us, we long for a touch because we are made out of a touch. But until and unless you understand it is God who made you out of the touch, you don't need a touch from another person. You don't need a touch from another gender. You don't need a touch from someone else. All you need is a touch from God, and all that will come into existence. Come on, people of God. Turn your neighbor and say, I am made out of a touch. So God took Adam and took the mud. The mud seems very insignificant. Mud, what can you do? Of course, you can make clay, you can make glass and all that. But when you look at mud, how many of you, we go out when raining? Ooh, wow, mud! Ha, I'm going to be rich. You won't do that, right? But out of that nothing, dust, some version says dust. And God made something into something so handsome like Jared today. Of course, you're so handsome. Come on. If you have this picture that you were made out of a touch and out of love, my friend. Whatever people say about you, whatever people do unto you, you'll be like, I am loved by the Father. I am made because of love. I am made because of a touch. You look at the mountain, look at the sea. Everything was made out of, let there be, let there be. But for me, God went down, took the man, not just like that, but he breathed. Don't use this mic after this, huh? And then Adam, what do you want, my Lord? No, kidding. No, like genie, you know, you rub. What do you want, Aladdin? Of course, not like that, you know. But when Adam came, and there was the celebration that you just saw there, that how me and my Rebecca family had that joy, the heaven rejoices. Hannah, when you were being born into the world, of course, Charlotte rejoiced. Rejoiced, right? Of course, Rahala rejoice, but more than that, the heavens rejoice. Hannah is out from the mother womb now. Oh, Hannah now can experience the love. Hannah now can call me Abba Father. Come on, we were all made because God is so in love with all of us. Come on, give God the glory. Now, you're going to finish soon. Now, let's go to the next one and we are done. We talk about the creation. We talk about why God created man. We talk about how did God create man. The next one we all don't like. The word, the three-letter word. Some of you are like, oh, I only know the four-letter word. Ah. Sin, S-I-N, sin. We're going to talk about sin. Everybody said, whoa. We don't like this, huh? But it's very important for us to understand this. So that our foundation is built strong, right? So we're just going to stick in the first part, all right? The sin. Now, we all know the cause of Adam to fall to sin is because God created that tree there. If God didn't create that tree, everything would be okay. How many of you had the question before? None of you had the question, I know. I had the question. Why did God, so smart, create that tree there? Hide that tree somewhere else, lah? Oh, don't tell Adam that tree is good and evil. Huh? So many tree, what? Maybe he won't eat that tree. Huh? Or make that tree ugly a bit so that he won't go. But God purposely created that tree. How many of you have asked the question before? Come, honestly, wave your hand. Ah, you're in the right place. Huh? We don't know why God, why you create the tree. I had this thing, I'm thinking, God, if you never create this tree, everything else would have been perfect. And then I had this thought to myself. Oh, maybe God didn't know Adam was going to sin. Let's create this tree, and let's see whether he, you know, this fella, will that one or not, fall or not. My friend, God is omniscient, which means he is all-knowing. He already know, you know. He already know. When he had Adam in his mind, he already know that this thing is going to happen. Which means everything in your life that's happening, God is not unaware of it. Everything is under the mind of God. Everything is under the control of God. Everything, God knows it because, I got no explanation to that because He is sovereign. Because He is God. Turn them and say, He is God. So God knows all that, yet He created this tree. Why in the world, God? Because of this one poco, whole humanity suffer, right? I get very angry, you know. If I just can erase that tree part in the Bible, so it'll be great. That's one thing. And God told Adam, listen, this, Adam, I've created all these things. Eat whatever fruit you want in all the tree. But don't take the fruit from this tree. Listen this carefully. Everybody blame Eve for it. Right? Everybody, Eve, take the what? The told Adam, eat la. It was Eve's fault. And some people will say, if only Eve was a Chinese, they will make a soup of the serpent already. They wouldn't have, Why you all like that, huh? Okay, anyway, listen this. When God told Adam, listen carefully, Eve was not created yet. Read the Bible. Eve was, Adam didn't, God didn't put Adam to sleep yet. Eve don't know anything. God spoke to the man. Sidetrack a bit, huh? Okay. Fun fact, huh? God spoke to the man. God told to Adam, you don't eat this tree. And then suddenly Eve came with pretty the hell. Hi, honey. What about that fruit? Huh? That fruit is good fruit. And Adam was like, if Adam only spoke out, if only all the men in this church, if only every fathers in every household will stand up and said, this is what the Lord spoke to me. If fathers will not just zip their mouth, but stand on the word of God, stand upon the promises of God, imagine what the Lord can do in your family. Imagine what the Lord can do in our nation. Imagine what the Lord can do in our church. It's because every man is silent. I'm not saying that's why the woman's coming up like that. I'm not saying that way. Please don't get me wrong. Please don't get me wrong. I love women. Really. You know, I don't see Rebecca as someone weak. I always see as equal. We all have our own strengths. Please don't get me wrong. Don't just cut this part and put it on YouTube and say there's a false prophet. Please don't do that. Okay? Today, YouTube, you go out so many you can find. They will cut 1 minute and say, "Ayo, look at that fella wrong." But if they hear the whole thing, they will understand the whole thing. Okay, listen this carefully. So God spoke to Adam. If Adam could just hang by the tree, when Eve came, "Honey, let's eat the tree," Adam could have just like show his muscle. But the Lord spoke to me that we should not eat. The Bible, you read, Adam was when Eve said, "Let's eat," Adam, "Oh, okay." Man, come on. When you know if the Lord spoke to you something about your son, about your children, about the church, about the nation, you should be up there and say, this is what the word of the Lord says. This is what the commandment of the Lord says. This is what the promise of the Lord says. You would have saved so many things, bad things from happening in your family. Every man, wave your hand at me. No one lifting their hand is okay. Okay, that's the whole different subject, huh? So, when God created the tree, you know what God was simply doing? God was putting free will in that garden. If God didn't put that tree, then Adam would have been a robot. We will all be a robot. Morning, wake up, God program you. Go here, go do that. We will be like a mechanic robot. We were not made out of wires. Remember, we are made out of a touch. We are made out of God's breath. Which means God is giving the free will for man to make decision. Because why? He loves you so much that He gives you choice to make in your life. Some of you may think that. You may see it the other way. God doesn't love us so much. That's why God created the tree. God loves you so much. That's why He created the tree. So that Adam can make a decision. But God has spoken. So Adam, of course, made the wrong decision. But God gave free will to him. Likewise, all in our life, certain things that happens in our life is because of our pure wrong choices in our life. There's a certain thing that you cannot blame God, you know. You know how many times sometimes we blame God or certain wrong choices we make? God be like, but no, I told you not to do. It's like having a kettle, a boiling kettle on the stove, huh? You know, and then you tell your grown-up boy, I mean small boy, maybe don't know, grown-up boy, you said, don't touch the kettle, okay? The kettle is hot. Can you see the fire is burning? And then that boy, oh, okay. And he went and he couldn't touch. Then he blamed the father. Appa, you are going on the stove. But I told you that the stove is on. I told you about it. But I gave you choice to make. And then the boy will start blaming the whole world, put in Facebook, Instagram, God, I'm upset with God. God is not fair with me. God doesn't understand my need. God doesn't love me and all that. But because of poor choices. Likewise, there's a lot of things in our life take place because of poor choices. Let's not get into that, okay? So God created that because Adam can make a decision. And of course, he was distorted and all that. And then what do you find that after the sin came in, what happened was, suddenly they find themselves, that about you? Who told them they were naked? Suddenly they thought, hey,
There's something there. Hey, it's uneasy now. And then they start to take themselves, they cover themselves. Why? Guilt and shame. And then what the Bible said? Who hide themselves? Did God hide themselves? Did God hide himself from them? It was them who hide themselves from God. Get this right, people of God. God never hide himself from Adam and Eve. Even when they sin, he never hide himself. The Bible clearly said, God came to the Garden of Eden. Adam, where are you? Eve, where are you? Don't come near. I'm naked. Don't come near. I've sinned against you. But God said, but where are you? My friend, if you get this theology right, you get everything right. Whenever you fall, you messed up, you sin, you get so many stupid things you do. Whatever it is, I'm telling you, God will never run away from you. God will never hide himself for you. How many of you have prayed that prayer before? God, why are you hiding yourself from me? Day, where you get that from? Where we got that from? God, you are hiding yourself from me. God, you are away from me. God, because I'm sinful, oh God. I think when I pray, God, you are not answering my prayer. How many of you know when you sin something, when you do something wrong, right? Is you are the one who's hiding away from God. Because of your guilt and your shame. Eh? Oh, your God, I've watched this, oh God. How to come to church, huh? And see the lyrics, huh? You, lyrics, all the bride so light. I look at something not nice. Hear all the bride coming, Lord. How, God, cannot. God, how to step into the church, so holy ground. God, I cannot. It is you. But God is not moved. I am just there, my son. That's why the Bible will say, draw near unto me, for I draw near unto you. Come on, listen to this. Why did God say, draw near unto me, then I will draw near unto you? Because in the first place, God didn't move away from you. It is you who draw yourself away from God. And God says, no, I'm just here, my friend. You draw near to me because God didn't draw himself away from you. Come on. The sin did not distort God's sovereignty. Sin did not push away God's likeness and his image. Come on. Because of sin, because of wrongdoing, God was not far away. In fact, God came and searched for Adam and Eve. Today, if you're sitting here, you felt like you are a sinner. You felt there's nothing good inside of you. You felt that you've done something wrong. You've watched something wrong. You have did something wrong, my friend. Let me tell you, God is still coming after you. Because you are a product of love, you are a demonstration of God's love, and you are made out of a touch, and God wants to touch you one more time. Come on! Now, I'm going to done. Worship him. Come. The creation of God. Jared, I'm talking to you. When God created man in the first place, he knew that Adam was going to sin. God is omniscient, he's all-knowing. Listen this carefully, yeah? But why, God? Again, the question, again. But after answering all that, still not satisfied. How many of you are still not satisfied? I'm not satisfied. Let's go next, huh? Listen this carefully. I wrote this down, huh? Listen carefully. God made creation knowing man will rebel. But he still create. Just like how parents want children, knowing that they are going to mess up. Knowing that there's going to be Legos all over the floor. Knowing there's going to be vomit and puke all over your baju. Knowing that you're not going to have a good sleep in the night. But we still want to make baby, right? You still wanna? Everybody please pray for Athens. Only he I heard, right? Joanne! Anyway, God, don't say, because it might happen. Just like how parents want children knowing they are still going to mess up, but they still want them. When we meet Isaiah, we know, and a lot of people tell, you know, oh, when you got children, your life is going to change. They said, you cannot go dating, you cannot watch Netflix in the night, you know, you cannot, in the first few months, you cannot hug together and sleep. Because one will be in the middle. Right? You cannot wake up late because they'll wake up earlier than you. And they're going to come and summer slam on you. My son do that. Wake up early in the morning. He will slap my face. Bam! Whoa! What to do? We made him what? Cannot be angry. Because that's love. But we still want them. Right? But why? Because, listen this, God is so patient. I'm so very patient, we can pray a bit. Because God is so patient enough to see you repent one day. This talks about the attributes of God, that He is a long-suffering God. He knows Rebecca is going to mess up. No, sermon, just example. She like, come back home. He knows we all going to mess up. But He still made us, you know. Because God is so patient. One day they will come to me. One day the gospel will reach out to them. One day that they will know that they belong to God's family. See, friends, when you know all these things, this small, small foundation, this summarizes your whole theology of God. You don't have to go to Bible school to learn all this. You don't have to go so deep to really understand who this God is. I want you to know that God is a God of love. Stand up to your feet, please. Can you pull out John 17 verse 3? We're going to end with this conclusion. John 17 verse 3. Come, quick. John 17 verse 3. It talks about, John is saying, this is eternal life. John is saying, and this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Can we all read this together? 1, 2, 3, come. And this?
Only true God and Jesus Christ whom you have sent.
Okay, next we're going to read again. But when you read, I want you to really get it in your spirit and try to understand. If you don't understand, I'm going to explain to you later, alright? Let's do that one more time. And this is
eternal life,
that they may know you, the only true God and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. Now, if you all have a distorted view or explanation or what eternal life is. Eternal life is when you come, you repent, you come to the altar call, you cry, the ushers will give you tissue. You accept Jesus, that's eternal life, which is true. You accept Jesus in your life, it's eternal life, salvation. Eternal life is, Lawrence, when you die, I go to heaven, horabasanda, hallelujah, which is true. I'm not saying it's wrong. But here John is giving a clear-cut answer what eternal life is. John is saying eternal life is that they, who's they? We. That we may know who? The Father. So when Jesus came to the face of the earth, right? He was telling the people, all I want you to know is who the Father is. Why? So that you can have this relationship with the Father. My friend, when you have a strong relationship with the Father, every other thing, you won't be so into sins. You won't be so into addiction, because sins and addiction and all these things that the world will offer you, it means nothing. It's not beautiful anymore, because you know that you are created for relationship for you and the Father. When you understand that you are made for relationship, all the other things, you won't want to do it anymore. All the wrong things will not want to do it anymore. So, what was John is trying to say here? I hope that all of you here will know who the Father is. Because when you know the Father is, you will know everything. When you know the Father, you will know what forgiveness is. How many of you know that you can ask for forgiveness, but you may not know the Father? You can say, Jesus, I want you, but you may not know Him. Because you're like, yeah, I just want to be safe. I just want to be safe. I don't want to know who He is. I just want to be safe. Enough. Complete. End of story. No. That you will be safe, and that you will know who the Father is. And when you got this salvation, and you know what this eternal life is. Eternal life is to know the Father, to know who the one who stands here, Jesus, and to accept His forgiveness, to accept His love. My friend, you are in the right track.
Come on, lift up both of your hands to Jesus in this place. Shadarabaka sokotola boroboro. Karabaka sokotola boroboro boko sikitiri.
God, you're so good. God, you're so good. You're so good to me. God, you're so good.
God, you're so good. Come on.
God, you're so good. You're so good.
Amen. With every hand lifted up to Jesus in this place, come on. I wanted to just tell this to God. Say, God, I want to know you. I want to know you. That I've been created to know you. I've been formed to know you. I want to know the Father. I want to know that Father. Come on, let this be our prayer. Let this be our cry, God, that I may know you. That I may know you, God. That I may know the Father. That I may know the Father. That I may know you. Come on, come on. You talk to God. Say, God, I want to know you, God. That I may know you, God. I know that I was made out of a touch, from touch. I was made out of love. I'm the demonstration of God's love. God, help me to know you, God. Help me to know you, God. Shadalaba Sunday. And for some of you, you feel that you've been so far away from God. You feel that you've been struggling with certain wrongdoing or certain sin, certain addiction. And you feel that God is so far away from you. And I want you to just right now begin to have a different picture of who this God is. God is not just there to judge you, but He is there to love you and to accept you. Of course, when you understand this acceptance and this love, you will not want to go back to that previous life of yours. You will not want to go back to that sin anymore, because you understood what love is. You understood what acceptance is. Holding the cups in your hand, we're going to just partake of communion in a while. I want you to just decently unpack your communion. Now, this is just to encourage some of you. We are all, look at me, if you have done opening your cups and your unpack your bread, just look at me. We all know the story of the prodigal son very well, right? The story is one of the boy messed up. He ran away. Remember, he ran away. He said, Father, I want to live my own life. Give me my share. He went. And you know the story, he messed up his life, the prodigal son. He messed up his life. And then he thought to himself, what if I go back to my father? Maybe he will accept me. Soft a bit. Maybe he will accept me. And then the boy, you know, probably got up a train. He came. And the Bible said from far he saw the father's house. It's like a picture of like what Adam and Eve did, no? He was hiding. And what happened is, the father saw from far. And what did father did? The father said, go and shower yourself and come. Did he say that? Go and fix your teeth. Your teeth is messed up. And come. Go and comb your hair and come. Look at you, you're dirty, you're smelly. Go and make yourself clean first and then come. No. The father saw the son from far and he was not moved by his appearance. He was not moved by his conduct and what he has done. But in his heart, he was like, my son has come home. And the Bible said the father went to the son. The father went, and what the father did? Bring me that garment, he shouted. Bring me the ring. Bring me the sandal. And the father put that garment on that boy. put the ring on that boy, change the sandal on that boy, and told his servants, told his elder brother, go and get me the fattest cow that you can get. Let's slaughter it and let's have a party tonight, because one was lost, but now is safe. The father did not fix his problem first, the boy's problem, and then take him in. That's what we do sometimes in church, huh? We fix people first and then take them in. But if you read Bible, it's different, you know. Take them in first and then we fix them. Not fix, slap them or what, but in the right way, love. Huh? You see the father's love? If you think that you need to be fixed first, 10,000 years you'll try fixing yourself, my friend. You will never be able to fix yourself. Cannot. We are human, yo. We cannot fix ourselves. But let God fix you with His love, grace, and mercy. He's not going to fix you. Get that cane. Athens, where's the cane? You got a lot of cane at home, I know. Get that cane. He's not going to do that. He said, Martin, come, let me put a new garment. Come, let me put a new garment on you. Let me change the ring of yours. Let me change the sandal of yours. Because now you have came home. You are my family. Come on. Holding the cup and the bread in your hand. The night before Jesus was betrayed, he took bread in his hand and looked up to heaven. And after giving thanks, he broke the bread and told his disciples, this is my broken body for you. Do this as often as you can in remembrance of me. Let's partake of this bread together as one family. Holding the cup in his hands, Jesus told his disciples, this is my new covenant, the covenant which I have set before you. Do this as often as you can in remembrance of me. Let's partake of this cup together as one family. Amen, amen, amen. Put your cups down. Father, we thank you for your wonderful presence. Father, I pray in Jesus' name for those of you, those of them who are struggling, who think that they are like the prodigal son. As they will go out from here, they will go out with a new garment. They will go out with a new ring, with a new sandal, knowing that they have been accepted and loved by you. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. And every man and the woman of God say amen. Come on, give God the glory in this place. Amen, amen, amen.